Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Carrie Young, welcome to The Common.
Daryl, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. So let's jump into this story you have for us. You are a WBUR senior education reporter, and you have a story about one school district's efforts to support families in need of translation or interpretation services. So tell me about this district. Where are you taking us today?
So in this story, I took you particularly to Brockton. And the reason I took you there was because it was one of a handful of districts in Massachusetts where there's about 50% or more of the students that speak a language other than English at home.
Okay.
So Brockton's, like I said, not alone in that. There's a handful. So like Everett has 71% of students that fall into those categories. Worcester sits at 59%. Boston's about 49%. But Brockton also, you know, has a really unique program from what I can tell in that they have a central location that's easily accessible to parents that has translation and interpretation services that are just really easily accessed. Most of the translators and interpreters sit in this building. There's a few exceptions, but for the most part, they're all there. And they are in a kind of nondescript office building near the mall that the district rents. And when you walk inside, though, it's definitely way different than you would expect from just sort of this office park kind of setting, because mm-hmm. there's phones constantly ringing and there's people speaking in multiple different languages. They are related to the school, so they're there to help parents navigate the school system if they don't speak English. But what you end up hearing there is really just these people assisting parents with any number of things, whether it's directly school related or something. I remember when I was there, a parent was asking one of the interpreters for help filling out a job application because she was recently unemployed and is trying to get a new job.
Mm-hmm. And these interpreters, translators, they're called bilingual community relations facilitators, right?
Yes.
Tell me about, like, what's a typical day like for them? You know, what kind of tasks are they dealing with?
Well, it can really range depending on the parent need. Specifically, they mostly work with, you know, school-related issues. So a child's home from school sick, so their parent calls this center, speaking the language that they're comfortable in to this particular translator, and then the translator interpreter will forward along the information to the schools. It could be, you know, there's a disciplinary hearing or a special education meeting, something that has really high stakes in education. That's really where the staff kind of shines, because then parents can go in knowing they're going to understand what is happening in this really meaningful meeting. They also do some totally non-school related things, like I was saying, helping a parent fill out a job application, helping them find funding for one family I heard called in saying, you know, I'm moving. Can you point me to organizations that offer financial assistance to help me out with this? And they do all of it.
You went to Brockton to see this for yourself. Tell me about some of the facilitators you met.
Yeah, so I got to talking to quite a few of them. Most of them, you could tell, just really loved their jobs.
Yeah.
Whether it was being able to speak multiple languages, I could tell that the relationship with parents was one of their favorite aspects. Several people told me that, actually. One of the employees that really stuck out to me was Connie Janae Branco, and she speaks Portuguese and Cape Verdean Creole. She's been there for 30 years, kind of self-describes herself as the matriarch of the bilingual department. But aside from being there for so long and having so much experience, you could tell that she really loved her job because of those connections, right? And that she can give parents a sense of peace with what their kids are doing in school, how they're doing, and understanding what's going on. So here's a little bit of our interview.
There's a lot of things that, you know, they will not say it to the school, but they will talk to us. If we talk to them, they'll say, well, since you speak my language, I'm going to tell you what's going on. And that's one of the things that I always tell the schools. We're not just interpreters. We're a resource person, too, for these parents.
Yeah, and she touches on the sense of trust between families. She's developed relationships with her families. They trust her. And because of that, she knows what's happening, even if it's a sensitive subject, so that she can accurately point them in a direction for assistance, whether it's something purely school related or maybe not so school related. But she can actually get them in the right direction.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Seen. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Did you get the chance to talk to any parents or families?
Oh, absolutely. I sat down with parents for a good half hour. Different folks filed through. The district had to let parents know, who typically utilize the bilingual department, that a reporter would be stopping by and that I'd be recording, just in case they were coming by with something sensitive, right, that they didn't want recorded or caught on tape somehow. And so, of course, some people probably stayed away because of that, but that announcement actually brought one parent to me specifically because she loved the center so much, because it meant so much to her and they've helped her so much in the past. Her name was Arachusa Da Silva, and she came in to tell me that the interpreters and translators there had just made her life so much easier at the school system, so much so that when she thought about maybe moving to a different district because housing was more affordable, she chose not to.
It's
been such a great thing, because sometimes her English is not very good, and sometimes she tries to express herself and they don't understand it. They get it in another way. So having somebody that really understands her language, it has been very helpful to help her in the school.
And as you can tell, that was Connie Janae Branco jumping in to interpret. So that's who you're hearing kind of dubbed over her there at the end.
Carrie, this story to me speaks to how vital schools are in our communities. Did anybody make that point during your reporting?
Well, several people definitely did. The one interview that sticks out to me talking about that was actually with the superintendent. And I had asked him, you know, this is a school funded, city funded, you know, thing. And so is that allowed? Like, I went in thinking like, okay, if it's school funded, you have to stick with school related things, right? And he said, really, everything is school related if you think about it, because if we're helping a parent, like the woman who was there with help with the job application, if she's employed and is getting regular income for her family, the family's more financially stable, there's less stress in the home. That eventually means that the child's less stressed and does better in school. If the family is just well situated, they have all of their needs met, it really does pay dividends in terms of schoolwork. Kids just do better.
Are other districts in Massachusetts paying attention to this?
The superintendent told me that he has been talking to several other districts. I know the bilingual department chair also told me that as well, that, you know, people are wondering, like, how's this working? How much does it cost? That kind of thing. There was a documentary that stopped by a little while ago from Colorado, and that they had mentioned, like, this kind of thing, this all-encompassing kind of service is not something that they had seen very often. And so, yeah, the district says they are in communication with others, and they're happy to share what they've learned, because immigrant families, immigrant students, are the fastest growing population in schools right now. So it's the demand for this is only going to grow.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for bringing us this story. It is really, really interesting. And so we really appreciate it.
I am always happy to talk about the places I've been on this beat. So thanks for having me.
That's WBUR senior education reporter, Carrie Young. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode, please give us a shout on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.